John chapter 20. That's where we're going to start tonight. John chapter number 20. And we're going to read verse 19 to verse 21 as we get started. I'll read for us verses 19 through 21 in John chapter 20. And here's what the Bible says. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. Something interesting to note here. This is a couple things I should say. Notice the Bible says, then the same day. What day is he talking about here in Gospel of John? It's the day Jesus rose again. It's the same day. It was a lot of things happened that day that Scripture records for us. And this near the end of the day is when he met with his disciples who were kind of huddled together. They were trying to stay out of sight. The Bible says they were for fear of the Jews. What do you think might have been on their mind? What do they think the Jews might have done to them? Same thing. You know, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they? They're the followers of Jesus. They, you know, cut them off and perhaps the whole movement can come to an end. And they had a lot of things on their minds. Some things we can surmise and other things we just don't know for sure. But the Bible says, first of all, they were afraid. The doors were shut. They were assembled for fear. For fear. Maybe you saw this last week that the NASA Artemis program continued on by that space capsule. It arrived on Earth safely and all according to plan and all that kind of thing. And they were in space for 10 total days from the time they lifted off to the time they returned. But the ultimate goal of the Artemis program is not to reach the moon. You know their ultimate goal? Is to reach Mars. The moon is to be a place where they can actually build, you know, a launch pad and all these types of things that's going to take who knows how long to do and money to do it with. But that's the idea, that they would make the moon the launch point because of the gravity of the Earth being so great, they would not be able to reach Mars without, that's the theory, that they would fly off from the moon to reach Mars and have a colony there. That is the total program. Now, when they went around the moon, maybe you saw some of the video, I watched some video, and they said, man, for the first time, human eyes are gonna see the backside of the moon and be able to actually see what's there. And I saw the video. How many saw some of that? You know, it looked a lot like the other side of the moon to me. I was like, man, they spent gazillion dollars to go do that. Looked like they just AI'd a few things in there. I don't know. But on that, while they were doing that, before they actually went to the other side, they understood the radiation would have been stronger than any human being would have endured. So not just the capsule, the way they built it to reflect off the radiation from the sun, once they get to that side, but they also put on their suits while they were inside the capsule. They were not, you know, they were not outside of the spacecraft, but because of radiation and because for precaution, they just made sure that if anything was to get through, they would have those suits to protect them. Now, if it got that far, and I'm one of those astronauts, you know what I'm thinking? Well, if it gets this far, I don't know if it really matters whether we have a suit or not. But the real reason they did it was they wanted to answer the question, will we survive? Will we survive? Jesus was crucified. His disciples knew it. He was now being wrapped, perhaps had been buried. Yes, he was buried. Excuse me, he was buried. And before it was all over, on the first day of the week, there he was in the midst of them. But before that, those two, 3 days, what do you think was on their minds? Here's the question I think, if you can sum it all up, will our faith in Christ survive? Will our faith in Jesus survive? Will this continue on, or will we have to just go back and maybe even start a new career or whatever because of all the claims we made with Jesus? And Jesus put all those fears to rest. Amen. He met with them that night, the Bible says. I believe we find Jesus giving his disciples answers to that question. Will our faith in Christ survive? And I think they'll be a help to us. I trust they'll be a comfort to us. That's the title, Will Our Faith in Christ Survive? Man, we look out on the world today, and it's a wonder why World War III hasn't started already. And it might. But you know, this isn't the first time when they thought maybe World War III would get started. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus is still, our faith in him will still survive. And that's what we want to look at. Why is that? Well, Jesus gives us some answers tonight. So let's go ahead and pray. We'll ask God to help us before we go any further. Would you bow with me and I'll pray. Lord, we need your help tonight because of what's going on around us. But that means that at times perhaps our eyes get on the temporal instead of the eternal. So we pray you would draw us back to you, Lord. Use your word tonight to draw us back. Perhaps there's some that need to simply receive Christ as Savior. The fear shouldn't be whether faith survives, but that whether they even have any, whether a person needs tonight to call on Jesus for that wonderful salvation and eternal life. I pray if that's the need, whoever's listening, Lord, this would be the day they do it. And as a Christian, Lord, fears can still creep up in our heart and mind. And yet, God, we have the words of Jesus, peace, peace. And I ask God that would be what we not just walk away with, but what we can share with one another about who Jesus is and what he can do. We thank you for what you're going to do now in Jesus' name. Amen. Will our faith in Christ survive? John chapter 4. Would you go there, please? John chapter 4. I'm going to look at verse number 21 there, John chapter 4. Here, Jesus is at the well, talking to the Samaritan woman, and they had a conversation about the water and the water of life. That he says, "I give you the water of life." Take a look at verse number 20. Let me start there. Verse 19. Let me start there. And we're in John chapter 4, verse 19. The Bible says, "The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. How do we know that our faith in Christ will survive? Number one, our faith continues because we worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. In spirit and in truth. We don't need a statue of him. We don't need a picture of him. We don't need to be where he walked or talked or any of those things, where he lived, so that we can somehow get the aura of the atmosphere. Those are amazing things, and they can be encouraging, but the truth is we don't worship any of those things. We worship Jesus, who lives in spirit and in truth. And God says that's how we are to worship him. And that's why our faith in him can continue on. His body's not decaying. His mind is not gone. He's not in oblivion. He exists today. Amen? Amen. He lives, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. As a member of the Godhead, Jesus is an eternal spirit. Notice verse 23 again. The hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. Who's the truth? Jesus is the truth. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And God says, I am part of that worship that you need to try and call on and give your heart too as a member of the Godhead. Jesus is an eternal spirit as man. By the way, let me stop there for a second. We believe in one God who exists in three persons. The Bible describes those three persons: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Now, if I could sit here and explain it all to you exactly the way God exists, I'm here to tell you that's not possible in this world, but it is possible to believe and put faith in that, because that's what the Bible teaches. There is one God, and the Father, Son, and Spirit, the Bible says, are the individuals, the persons of the Godhead. And yet when we pray, we call on God. Amen. We certainly can call on the various names. I do that at times. And yet, we know we're worshiping one God. We don't divide our prayers into that. We simply call on the Lord. As member of the Godhead, Jesus is eternal. As a man, Jesus retains an everlasting glorified body. As a man, Jesus retains an everlasting and glorified body. Would you go with me to Luke chapter 24? Luke chapter 24. So Jesus exists today as an eternal spirit, but he also exists in an eternal glorified body. And he's the only one who does that today. Take a look at verse number 37. We're in Luke chapter 24. Let's read these together. Verse 37 to verse 40. And let's read them together, please. Let's read them out loud together. But they were terrified and affrighted and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. He said, listen, this is the same moment in John that we're reading about in Luke. And he says, reach hither and take a look. I've got hands and feet, and they're solid, and you can't put through them. It's flesh before you. The point is this, of course, Jesus as man, but as the God-man, retains an everlasting glorified body. Our faith can continue because we worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. Amen. And he still exists today. Right. He's not just a figment of our imagination. He's not just a historical character or someone from the past. He's alive and well today, which is something different than any other religion on earth. To accept Jesus for what he says and who he is. Our faith continues because we worship Jesus in spirit and in truth. Let's go to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Would you go there, please? And we want to read verse number 39. Verse number 39, speaking to the Jewish, to a Jewish audience here. At first they were interested, then they got a little hostile, but then he began to share truth with them. And the last half of John chapter 5 is simply about who he is and what he can do. But look at verse number 39 in John chapter 5. The Bible says this, search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Why can our faith in Christ survive? Because it continues, because Jesus preserves a record of himself. Jesus preserves a record of himself. The most important character in Scripture is Jesus. We need to know him personally. We need to accept who he is and what he did on the cross for us. We need to accept that he's lived eternally. He had no beginning. He has no end. And he saves any soul that calls on him in faith. And yet through the Word of God, we learn so much more than just about Jesus. We learn about the others that followed him and the world and history and all those things. But God in his grace has preserved a record for you and me so that we can know Jesus. Amen. So we can live by like him. The Bible shows us Christ from Genesis to Revelation. John 8 verse 58 says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And we've looked at that in the last few weeks. And that means, first of all, that means he lived before Abraham, before Jacob, Moses, Joshua, Gideon, even Nebuchadnezzar. All those he was in existence long before they were. And the Bible presents Jesus manifested in the flesh, in the Gospels, in the Gospels. If we were to go through each Gospel, we would find some interesting things. And that is, number one, is who was the Gospel written for? Primarily, the audience, primarily. For example, the book of Matthew shows us Jesus as the perfect king. And the audience, primarily, was the Jewish reader, because they're looking for a king. And they thought they had one. In fact, they were going to force him to be. And he said, no, it's not my time. Mark, the book of Mark, shows Jesus as the perfect servant. The Roman soldier needed to understand why he would serve and who he could serve, or the Roman reader. And the book of Mark is given with that theme in mind. The book of Luke, Jesus as the perfect man, the perfect man. Luke was a very intelligent man. He was well-read, well-written, and he wrote the Gospel of Luke as well as the book of Acts, and God has used those in our lives. And the idea was that those that are looking for some kind of an intellectual argument, consider the book of Luke. It presents Jesus as the perfect man, because man, as we know, all we got to do is look in the mirror and find out man's not perfect, but Jesus is. And then the book of John actually was written to the believer in Christ to show us how to live like he would. It shows us Jesus as the perfect God-man, the perfect God-man. How can we live for God in this life? Well, the book of John is a good manual for that. You know, however, the truth of the matter is, when you talk to somebody and they say, where should I start reading in the Bible? Answer number one, just start reading. But answer number two, what is it you're thinking and need to learn? What would you like to learn about? And perhaps we can help direct in that way. But certainly, I think the best thing to do about the Word of God is just read it. Just read it. I was reading in Leviticus about the priests, and there's three chapters devoted to how priests find whether you have leprosy or not. And man, it sounds like, okay, carbon copy of this one, carbon copy of that one. Okay, if the man, if the woman, if the animal, if the clothes, what do you do? And it's interesting, but we don't operate that way today. If we had something physically wrong with us today, what would we do? Would we go to the priest? Would you go to the pastor? Man, I think my arm's broken, Pastor. What do you think you can do about that? Where would you go, folks? Go to the hospital, you go to the doctor. God's provided those with knowledge and abilities that way. But certainly, there's still purpose to everything in the Word of God. Even in those Levitical laws, there is a spiritual sense. Leprosy represents sin in the Old Testament. How are we to deal with that? And God gives us an idea of how we can be cleansed as we apply it along with New Testament scripture as well. So the Bible presents the manifested Savior in the Gospels, and the epistles, the letters to the church, preach faith in Jesus for salvation and sanctification. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. The epistles preach faith in Jesus for salvation and sanctification. We're going to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's take a look. Salvation starts our new life in Jesus. Sanctification is our continuing life in Christ, to continue to be set apart to Him. Chapter 3, verse 15 is where I want to start. 2 Timothy chapter 3, let's take a look. In verses 15 through 17, here's what it says. And that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. Do I want to grow up properly in my Christian life? God says, I've given you the Bible to do that. I've given you the Bible to help with that. Make it a part of your diet every day. So we have scripture. That Bible tells us our faith will continue in Christ because of the way God has recorded himself in the scriptures. Number three. Let's go back to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And verse number 21, the Bible says, "Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you." Why will our faith in Christ survive? Because our faith continues, because Jesus works through his followers. Jesus works through his followers. He says, "My Father has sent me, now I'm sending you." I've got an assignment for you to do. We're sent with purpose to point souls to Jesus. Luke chapter 24 says this in verse 47 and 48, "And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem, and ye are witnesses of these things." Our purpose is to point souls to Christ. That's what we need to be doing as a believer. We're sent with the power of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 1, verse number 8, if you know it, you can say it with me. "But ye shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, and in all Judea, and in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth." The word power there is the word dunamis, which we get our word dynamite. Dynamite. Here's what Jesus says. "After I leave, I'm going to give you some dynamite." Has anyone ever actually held dynamite? You know, did it say actually TNT on it or something like that? I don't know. But obviously the idea is, I'm going to give you some explosive power. I'm going to give it to you. But let me tell you something. It only works when we submit to him. It's only unleashed unless we submit to him. What does the Holy Spirit give us power to do? John 14, let's take a look. John 14, a couple of things I want to point out. What does the Holy Spirit help us, his power, to do? John 14, take a look. These are interesting things for us if we want to be witnesses for Christ. He says, John 14, look at verse number 26, please. Verse number 26 of John chapter 14. Would you read this with me? Verse 26, we're in John 14. Let's read it together. "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." I want you to consider that last phrase. He says, "and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you." How many have a not so good memory? Yeah, under the circumstances, all of us can say, "Well, there's times I forget this." But you know, when you're witnessing, when you're telling someone about Jesus, it's not a matter of how smart you are, or intellect you are, or how foolish you might things you understand. It's how much you can share of who Jesus is. It's what you can share about what the Bible tells about him. And when you go in the power of the Holy Spirit, guess what God says he wants to do? He wants to help you remember who Jesus is, so you can tell this person that you're trying to win to the Lord, that you're trying to tell them that, hey, this doesn't have to be the end of your life. Because God loves you and he sent Jesus to do it. And someone you would never think you'd tell them you love them, but you do. Because the Holy Spirit said, this is what they need to hear. And folks, if you had that opportunity and have been in that moment, you know exactly what I'm talking about. That's the Holy Spirit remembering what you have learned. He won't tell you something you haven't learned, by the way. Wow, all of a sudden I shared the whole gospel of no, but what you have learned, The Bible says the Holy Spirit wants to bring it back to memory so we can share with others. He gives us power to remember the words of Jesus. Number two, he gives us power to live a life that testifies of faith in Jesus. Galatians 5, let's go there. He gives us power to remember the words of the Lord and power to live a life that testifies of the Lord in Galatians 5. Let's take a look. Going to start with verse number 16. And here's what it says. This I say that walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walk, submit, obey. That's the idea. Do what he says, the way he says. And then skip down to verse 22. We see if we walk in the Spirit, here's what we can expect to see through our life. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. What is the Holy Spirit? What's his power do? His power helps us testify, live a life that testifies of the faith that's within us. And we need his help. Amen. Yes. We need his help. We need to be living a life that's not weird, but right. Right. That's what it is. To live the Christian life is to live the right life. It's not living a crazy life. It's living a right life, and that it draws others to Jesus. That is the goal of living a testimony before others. Not so that people think we're so great, but they think of Jesus when they see us in our life. Our faith continues because Jesus works through his followers. So we're sent. We're sent with purpose. We're sent with the power. And number three, we're sent with partners. We're sent with partners. By the way, where do we get our partners when we go witnessing for the Lord? Right here. Yeah, in our church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12. Here's what it says. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. We're sent with partners from church. Remember, Jesus sent out his disciples the first time. He did it a couple times, actually, I think. He sent them out by twos. He sent them out by twos, not ones, so that they can somehow go on and be a, you know, lone ranger. That's not the goal. The goal is to reach people and encourage one another as we share the gospel with others and try to tell them about the Lord. We're sent with partners from church. Hey, friend, if you want to go witnessing, I want to go with you too. If I go, would you go with me? Because I need a partner. So you might know something that the Holy Spirit wants to say, and it doesn't come to my mind, but it comes to yours. And vice versa, God wants to use us in that way. We're sent with partners. And finally, we're sent with provisions from the Good Shepherd. We're sent with provisions from the Good Shepherd. Psalm 23, let's go there. Psalm 23, and take a look here in Psalm 23. Looking at verse number 1 through 4. And we all know this so well. In fact, let's read the whole thing together. How about that? Psalm 23. Let's say it together, shall we? Psalm 23, let's all share it together. Let's begin. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Notice verses 1 through 4 here, a couple things I want to share, especially in verse 3 and 4. Here's what it says. What are some provisions he provides for us on this earth? Well, verse 3, he restoreth my soul. He restoreth my soul. Between now and next Sunday, how many think they're going to go to sleep? Sometime between now and next. Yeah, maybe not as much as you'd like, or maybe too much, but you're going to need some. You're going to need some. And Jesus says, you know what? I want to restore your, not your body necessarily, although he can help with that. I want to restore your what? Soul. Your soul. The world, the flesh, Satan, man, they're all beating down on your soul every day. And Jesus says, come to me, let me help you, restore you, and give you strength. Then he says, he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. You know, the thing we need to do is follow the steps that Jesus would lay before us. And I asked the Lord that, Lord, would you show me the step? You know, it's great to know the whole journey, and we know where the end is. But would you show me the next step? Would you show me the next two, or whatever it is? Help me to stay on the right path. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. Then verse number 4, he says, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. They comfort me. These are tools of protection for the sheep. Tools of protection to protect them from wolves and other predators, but also to protect the sheep from themselves, You know why that old stick has a crook in it that the shepherds are supposed to get? It's so that they can pull the sheep back towards them. Because somewhere along the line, they misstepped, got off the path, got a little too far, and the shepherd came by and said, nope, come on with me, come on with me. We have a great faith in Jesus, and it will survive, not because of who we are, by the way, but because of who Jesus is. Yes. Who Jesus is. A physician conducted a survey involving his patients. As they waited in the waiting room, they were asked to fill out a survey on themselves. One of the questions asked was, what is your number one wish? What would you put down if you were in the doctor's office? On analyzing the answers, the doctor found that the number one wish of 67% of his patients was to have peace of mind. To have peace of mind. What's the first thing Jesus said when he saw his disciples? Peace I bring to you. Yeah, peace to you. Peace be unto you. The first thing Jesus said to his disciples, because why? He knew that's what they needed. And he's providing it. Because of his deity, because of the record of the Bible, and his continued working in our lives, Jesus offers his peace in place of any fears and anything else for that matter. He is the great God that we can have our faith in and know that that faith will survive forever, forever, because of who he is. Heavenly Father, I pray, help us to consider you tonight. Lord, maybe there's one tonight listening who needs to actually put faith in Jesus for salvation. We don't grow up a Christian. We become a Christian when we put faith in Christ at some point in life. And I pray, Father, if that's the need for someone tonight, this would be the day, this would be the night that they do. As a Christian, Lord, how many times do we walk through that valley? How many times do we look for your comfort, and yet you say, you're right there beside us. You always have been. And if we turn to you, we can find rest for our soul. Lord, help us to examine our own life and see where we're at in our Christian walk. We know it's the best walk, Lord, and even tonight we pray, whatever it is, we'd give it over to you. Well, thank you, Lord, for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. Heads are bowed, please. Eyes are closed. If you're able, would you stand with heads bowed and eyes closed? We'll just open up the altar tonight. Whatever the Lord might lead to you to do on your heart, would you do it tonight as he's speaking to you? And as the God of peace, the Savior of peace, he says, listen, I can handle that. Your faith is sure in me. If the Lord's leading you tonight, would you respond? Maybe you need Christ as Savior. I have my Bible. We have others maybe who can open up the Word and very clearly lead you right to the Lord Jesus and have that new life in Him tonight, if that's your need. I'm going to ask the organ to softly play the song we'll sing, and when she begins, would you respond tonight to Jesus, our Savior, tonight?